Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show on the Overreaction Sports Network. My name is Joe Miller, sitting alongside my co-host for this episode, Jerry Ostrowski. Welcome to everybody. The Buffalo Bills have a couple draft picks. It's some new Buffalo Bills. But before we get into any of that, please do me a favor. Whatever platform you are consuming this on, please like, please subscribe. So if you're on YouTube, hit the thumbs up. If you're on Twitter or Facebook, hit the like button. Whatever platform that you might, from a podcast standpoint, you might be watching this on or listening to this on, please subscribe to us so you can get all of our content. I'm getting rave reviews. I just got off of another show, and they were going on and on about how they haven't missed an episode of the stuff that we're doing, which is awesome. So I'm waiting for something to fill in here, but we got two new Buffalo Bills. Cole Bishop was just drafted, a safety out of Utah. And then we know that Keon Coleman, much to everybody's surprise, was drafted with the 33rd overall pick, the first pick in this round. Welcome to everybody that is joining us. Everybody that's in the comments section. If you're not on YouTube currently, jump over to YouTube. Great, great community, great content over there. But, Jerry. Yeah, before we jumped on air, you were like, I told everybody. What did you tell us?
I when we went over our top three needs on this football team the other day, my first need was actually safety.
Right.
Second was wide receiver.
Right.
Third, I went interior offensive line, specifically center. But I could also see a need for edge. What did the Bills do with their two picks in the second round? They go wide receiver first with Keon Coleman from Florida State. Bishop, not a lot of people know who he is.
Okay, I don't.
He played at Utah.
Right.
So he's a West Coast guy. He plays late at night. Okay. He plays in conferences that a lot of people on the East Coast don't know about.
Right.
6'2", 206, 40-yard dash of 4.45, vertical of 39 inches, a broad jump of 10 feet 4 inches. 39 and 10 feet 4 inches. Why is that important? Strength and explosiveness. Okay. 6'2", 206 sitting back at safety. This is a hammer. Okay. This is a hammer. This is the kind of guy that I like at safety.
Right.
And if you want to look at him and what he's probably going to fill in our defense, this is the Jordan Poyer guy.
Right.
The guy that's going to come up into the box,
come downhill and tackle.
He's going to be a guy that fills behind linebackers. Looking at some of his write-ups, versatile defender. He can play all three levels of defense. He becomes more effective the closer to the line of scrimmage he gets. So think of this guy, think of this pick, Bishop, as a Jordan Poyer-esque player, okay? He's instinctual. Yeah. He displays good vision and all of that. He's a strong, strong tackler. Negatives about him, he's a short strider. What that means is if you watch guys on film, okay, when you're evaluating players, you watch them on film and they're running downfield.
Right.
Look at the hash marks, okay, or look at the 5-yard increments. How many strides are they taking to get the 5? How many strides are they taking to get the 10?
Right.
He's taking a lot more than somebody else. Shows maybe he's not quite a pure runner, a pure speed guy, but he did run a 4.45.
Similar to Chop. Chop has the same knock.
Right. Okay. He's probably, they say he's maybe a little bit stiff in pass coverage, a little bit stiff in his change of direction. All that tells me is this. This is your run-stopping hammer center that's going to come downhill and hit people.
So
I like the pick.
So going from two guys that are very much interchangeable in Hyde and Poyer, just like they do with the linebackers, they try to keep those guys interchangeable in the sense that Milano and even Edmonds, when he was here, they basically did the same thing. They just, one was on the right, one was on the left. You're saying there might be maybe a little bit of a switch in the sense of he's not as fluid in the hips. And maybe he's just strictly a strong safety, like that old school strong safety.
Right. I would say he's probably more old school strong safety, but playing in the Pac-10, he did have to play against the pass a lot. So I'm sure that with the Bills evaluating him and seeing him as a second round pick, and a lot of people did, this is not a reach. Okay. This is not a reach pick because of a need that the Bills have on their roster.
Right.
This is
right.
a guy that they can get it done. Statistics in 2023, 11 games, 60 total tackles, 6.5 for loss, 3 sacks, had 2 INTs.
Yep.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Second team All-American, 29 total starts. He was a 2023 Jim Thorpe Award semifinalist. Jim Thorpe Award, best DB in the country. That is based here in Oklahoma City, in Oklahoma. I think the Bills should be very, very happy. Bills Mafia should be very, very happy that this guy's on our football team.
It seems like he is the next best thing to Cooper DeJean, or Cooper DeJean, rather. This is what Chris Trapasso from, excuse me, and I apologize, everybody. I'm still struggling with a little bit of a cold. So it's just in my throat. I feel great. It's just battling in my
throat. Don't worry, Joe. I'm fired up right now.
You are fired
up. I can talk all day, baby.
So Chris Trapasso from ESPN says, large, intimidating safety with magnificent movement skill. The QB of the defense aligns everywhere, which the QB of the defense is important because there's been question about who's going to like keep that defensive backfield in check. You know, when the play call is made from Tyler Bernard, who then is, you know, in the defensive backfield is going to line everybody up. Can wear many hats, excelled as a slot defender versus tight ends. I'll say this. We all love Taron Johnson. Taron Johnson just got extended. Taron Johnson is our nickel corner who stays on the field, covers a lot of tight ends. Sometimes he struggles with the bigger guys. It'll be interesting to see how they play that. Maybe they rotate them off. I don't know. That's just a speculation. They may not. And runs the alley on the outside. He runs well. He runs as well as any safety in the class. Ball skills and tackling must improve. That's a little concerning. Need filled. Chris Trapasso. He gave that an A minus. Now, I would say that he is not going to be the highly debated, he's not the one that everybody's gonna be like, what in the world are we doing here? Like, as much as he's unknown, right, there's a lot to be said for everything that you gave. What Chris Trapasso has said gave him an A minus. I think it's more about, you gotta wonder, and we're gonna talk about Keon Coleman a lot, and then you and John, just so everybody knows, are gonna follow up with another show after this one at the end of the draft, or after the Bills pick again in the third, just to kind of wrap up the third round and maybe talk a little bit more about the second. Yeah, you guys are going to come back in and wrap up again. I feel like what's been ringing in my head since the Bills took Keon Coleman is the old saying, and I don't remember if it was Muhammad Ali or who said it, but the idea that, like, everybody's got a plan in a fight until you get punched in the face.
Right.
And I feel like the Buffalo Bills got punched in the face yesterday. I feel like there was a plan to go up and get Brian Thomas Jr. And that was the plan. And everybody was in on the plan that, like, you know, last year, Josh Allen had Dalton Kincaid, no matter what, and gave it to Brandon Bean. And I feel like tomorrow or yesterday, he had a post-it note and he gave it to Brandon Bean, Brian Thomas Jr., no matter what. And when they couldn't get that deal done, because everybody's like, I want your second. And they probably said, what about our third next year? And they're like, no, I want your second. And he was adamant in that press conference last night. So two things, just because it was on Twitter quite a bit, you know, there was the first sound bite that Brandon Bean did not make a single call to move up in this draft for a wide receiver. That was not true. He didn't make a single call for the first top 10 or into the top 10 for the top three wide receivers. He very much said he was working the phones to get up, to get a guy that they wanted, but the asking price was too high and they couldn't do it. They just couldn't. And you have to assume, he was inferring that they were wanting a second. And he was like, no. And he doesn't have a third at that point to give. And then Brian Thomas Jr. goes. And I feel like at that point in time, the scramble drill is kind of on. Then it's like, well, we're going to move to 32. We want a wide receiver. Somebody wants to take the 32. So we'll move back to 33. And I just feel like it was, and now what could have been a dream world scenario, which the odd thing to me, Jerry, is we've done so much draft coverage this week. I am more prepared for this draft than I've ever been in my entire life because of the people that we've talked to, the people right. that we've had on. Like, none of the names that we're hearing are the names that we've discussed. So, like, the idea, I even tweeted it today, like, the idea of Cooper DeJean, Troy Franklin, and Zach Frazier, like, bang, third, fourth round, get it done. And, like, we're getting those, like, positions, but the players are like,
has anybody figured this out yet? Okay, Bills coveted Brian Thomas Jr., needed to trade up to get him.
Yes.
He didn't go till 22, folks.
Yeah, correct.
And when he went at 22, Jacksonville traded up to get him. So yep. He was still on the board and still moving towards Buffalo.
Yep.
Then everybody's like, oh, it's going to be DeJean. DeJean doesn't go till partway through the top half of the second.
Yeah,
everybody today, if you watch Twitter today, everybody's talking about who? They're all talking about A.D. Mitchell. It's going to be A.D. Mitchell. It's going to be A.D. Mitchell.
That's what I thought it was going to be. That's what I thought.
A.D. Mitchell doesn't go till halfway through the second round, if not the latter part of the second round.
Which, by the way, credit where credit is due. You called in our text messages. I don't know if you said it on a show. You may have that Cooper DeJean was going to be a Philadelphia Eagle.
Yeah,
you,
I did.
We thought first round.
Yes.
But you said Philadelphia Eagle.
I thought Cooper DeJean would have went yesterday, but the way the draft went with all the offensive players, you know, it pushed the kid from Alabama down there, or not Alabama, the kid from Toledo down there.
Right, right.
And then they were able to get DeJean in second. But the point I'm trying to make is all these guys that we're crying about, all these guys that we had to have, the draft is validating what Bean has done.
Mm-hmm,
the draft is validating his decision-making.
Agreed.
He gets Coleman in the second. We don't have a receiver on our roster like Coleman. The Correct. Best thing we have on our roster, like Coleman, the closest thing would be Dalton Kincaid.
That is
and he's
correct.
A tight end.
That is
you
correct.
Now have a true 50-50 jump ball guy. One of the things that Bean said in his press conference that I thought was really, really interesting, okay, was he said, Josh has the ability to extend plays.
Yes.
And when he does that, a lot of times he throws up these 50-50 balls, these balls that are jump ball situations, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now we didn't have a receiver to capitalize on that. Now we do. And right. I'm going to say one other thing, Joe. I know you got something you want to say before we get into this pick at safety and maybe what the Bills might do in the third, at the end of the third. The other thing is this about Coleman. And, you know, he played Division I college basketball for Tom Izzo at Michigan State.
And he didn't play for a slouch college either.
Like if you don't think FSU. This kid is athletic, you're out of your damn mind. Basketball right. players are the greatest athletes in the world, period. End of discussion. And I played football.
And hockey players. Hockey players are pretty athletic.
Basketball players are the greatest athletes in the world. End of discussion.
Gotcha.
So to me anyway, if you look at this, I think that it was it to me anyway. I don't want to say dream scenario because a dream scenario would be a Nduze or somebody like that falling to 28, no trade.
Right, right.
You know, I'd be wearing your T-shirt, Wildest Dreams, right?
Wildest Dream Plan.
Right. But when you look at what the Bills have done in acquiring picks and getting two hammers at two high need positions on day two of the draft,
right?
To me, that's a grand slam. That's hitting out of the park.
I agree. I don't think there will be any contention necessarily around Cole Bishop. What's interesting to me is just the Keon Coleman pick. And, you know, as sources go, the source that I have is pretty reliable. And I was overly vocal on the source as it pertained to Cooper DeJean. And I would say that what I felt about that or what I was told about that is probably still true. I don't think it's a situation that was incorrect. What I was told about Keon Coleman, though, was very much it was a no-go unless everybody else was kind of gone. He's the last guy that has the skill set that they want, blah, 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 blah. So it's interesting. And I want to read some just blurbs, right? So Brandon Bean's comments, because Coleman is the teeter that's going to totter. And the reason the teeter is going to totter is because the Bills traded out of Xavier Worthy for Keon Coleman. Effectively, right? I mean, I know it's one pick difference because they moved from 32 to 33. But if Xavier Worthy becomes a prolific NFL wide receiver and Keon Coleman is, as some people are labeling him, the next Kelvin Benjamin, like it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a stain for Brandon Bean. Now, not all the comments I'm about to read you are bad, so I'm not being negative, so don't get the wrong idea. Brandon Bean's comments. He's big, physical, he's got size, plays above the rim, your basketball comments. He has some rack ability too. Now, remember that line, rackability too. Really good release for bigger guys. We thought his release was as good as any. I watched his film. I would say I potentially agree with that. He understands defenses, which was something that I read about him that I think he does as well, which is big for the Bills. Brandon Bean also said he has a lot of bravado in him or to him, and he's got a lot of personality. He'll probably have 150 catches, 2,000 yards, laughed. We'll bring him along. He'll have to learn the offense. He'll help us a lot. He's a big body, which goes back to what we talked about before, which was the Bills bringing guys along slowly. It's kind of what Brandon Bean is saying there. Like, he's probably not going to jump on the field right away. NFL scouts. Now, this is what the NFL scouts have said about Keon Coleman. Great body control, unbelievable hands, great understanding of defenses, loves the game of football. All that stuff is positive. The Buffalo Bills love guys like that. Big guy. Doesn't have any quickness. explosiveness or speed. Doesn't separate well. He's a one gear guy. They try to throw those slip screens to him, and he doesn't have much run after the catch. There's your rack. Just a number three type of guy. That's a different scout than the first one. The third.
Now say what the other guy's getting ready to say. Go ahead. Say
on Labor Day. I read all this. On Labor Day night, Keon Coleman might have been the best player on the field against LSU. I watched those highlights, just so everybody knows.
Now read the next one.
Hang on. He had three touchdowns that night and looked uncoverable. And then the last one is, I'm not going to say he's going to be Anquan Boldin, but it'll be a similar experience. That's exciting information. But when you watch him on the field on his tape, he does look a little slow. Doesn't mean he is slow, but he looks a little trudgy, right? Like he's not a quick, fast, quick twitch guy. He's not. Now, I know that when he gets the top speed, he had the Wyo actually came in on one of my tweets and said that, because she said he comps to Eric Molds. And I was like, Eric Molds had wheels. Like, and Eric Molds was thick. He was a thick body. Whereas Keon is big, but he's not quite as dense as Eric was. But he apparently had the fastest like top speed time at either the combine or one of the events that they had done as like coming into the draft. But it's about how long it takes you to get there. Now, Chris Trapasso still from ESPN, his comments on, and Chris is actually, I believe, from Buffalo. He gave this pick a C-. He said he's an X receiver for a wide receiver needy team, plays faster than his combine speed, but doesn't separate consistently and isn't as good of a contested catch wideout at his size and highlight reel the highlight reel would indicate. Bruce Nolan also said that his contested catch rate, 50-50 balls, is about 30%. And then Chris Sims, I'll give you a positive on the last one from Pro Football Talk, Phil Sims' son. The Buffalo Bills just got one of the most freaky specimens in the NFL draft. Keon Coleman has incredible route running ability, which I agree with. He is dangerous with the ball in his hands, and he has a chance to be the best 50-50 ball wide receiver in the NFL with his size and jumping ability. All of that to say this, as much as everybody was divided on this kid coming into the draft post selection.
Yeah, they still are
still incredible.
But what I'm going to say is this, if you look at his drop rate, okay, he had five drops in his college career, one of the lowest drop rates in the country. You go ahead, and here's another big factor that I don't think many people are going to discuss. Brandon Bean discussed it in his press conference. If you listened, it was a little bit of a sliver of information. He is 20 years old.
Yeah, he's young.
Okay, he's young. So he's going to develop more and more. He will get better at a lot of stuff in the weight room. Mm-hmm. He's got strong hands. He is a strong catcher of the football. He will high point the football. He will learn more as we go. We've got a flip scenario now. Mm-hmm. We don't got 20 whatever year old Josh Allen coming in with an established Stephon Diggs teaching him. Now you've got established Josh Allen getting ready to teach Keon Coleman. I think right. Keon Coleman is the type of receiver that the Bills need at this present moment. Okay. Because we've got a bunch of small guys that can run routes and all of that. We needed somebody that can do that, be strong in that jump ball scenario.
Yeah. I think the good question is if the Bills are going to bring him along slowly, and there's an aspect of like a lot of people feel like he works well in the slot, which a lot of his film says that as well. That means the Bills have like seven slot receivers and they have no true boundary guy, right? They needed a boundary guy. Khalil Shakir is not a boundary guy. Like Dalton Kincaid. Well,
that's the reason kind of, they reached for Shorter last year. I mean, they're trying to make him into a boundary
guy. And we don't know what he's going to be yet, right? We haven't seen him on the football field really at all. So I guess that's the question that I would pose to you. You're rolling these guys out there first game of the season. Where do you see guys playing? Is it going to be a hodgepodge? Everybody can go anywhere, anybody, any guy anywhere, or is it going to be more of a you're here, you're here, you're here, and you're here?
I think receivers have to be multifaceted. I think they have to play multiple positions. I hate, and you know me, I've preached this since we've been on the show. I hate wide receiver 1, 2, 3. Yep, I hate saying a guy is a slot. I hate saying a guy is an X. I hate saying right. If that helps the fan base understand maybe the skill set of the player or body type, okay, that's fine. Because, you know, that can make things easier. But you've got to go ahead, and I think Brady will continue to do what he has done, which is he has put his guys in positions to be successful. It's not always in the position that they are listed as. We've seen that with James Cook. So I think the Coleman will come along. I think Coleman probably at 20 years of age and hearing some of the things we've heard and the fact that everybody is so split down the middle, he probably needs to mature a little bit. not just mentally, but physically.
I would probably
agree. He will get there. But what I will say is nobody, and this is really, really important, nobody has ever questioned whether he loves football or not. Every person that talks about him talks about his love for the game of football, which tells me he's going to go out and he's going to do the things he needs to do to get better. I like the pick. I like it at 33. I think it was good for the Bills. I do have to address one thing, though.
Sure.
I hate to tell my man Raymond Grimley this, but I am a rugby fan. Okay. I watch rugby. I'm a devotee of the Six Nations. Okay. Just ended about a month ago. He says that rugby players are way better athletes than basketball players. Raymond, you're out of your damn mind. Okay. Other than maybe the fly half or the scrum half, it's not even close. And if they were that good of athletes, there'd be more of them playing in America because there's more money over here in football. They'd be playing American football and not rugby. So we've got an offensive lineman that plays for the Eagles. I believe the fly half or scrum half from Wales this year is getting a tryout with the whole rugby to U.S. football thing they've got going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, Raymond, whenever you want to speak and talk about rugby, I'm here for you. So just hit me up on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, and we'll talk about it. But you can't tell me that they're better athletes than LeBron. And no, sorry, ain't going to happen. Ain't letting you go in with that. But well, okay, well, let's go back to the show.
Well then. We'll look real quick to the third round, and then we'll get everybody out of here. But before we do that, just a reminder to everybody that's watching, listening to us live right now, Jerry and John are going to come back on. Are you going to come on after the last pick?
Yeah, we're going to come on right at, just like this time. We're going to come in right after 95.
Gotcha.
Okay. You know, I guess now the fight is, do you go ahead and do you take – best available player? Do you address your need at the edge rush position? Edge
is the problem.
Defensive tackle, there's not many of them, and there was a run on them in the second, so that area is probably lean. Do you go ahead and jump in and grab another wideout, because you know they are going to pick multiple wideouts this draft? And then of course, you know, the other, you know, to me, glaring need is another center, you know, another guy that can snap the ball that has experience. So round three should be interesting. We're going to have to wait a while till the second to last pick, but John and I will be back here on Overreaction Buffalo. We'll be on YouTube. And of course, if you're listening on Facebook, Twitter, you can hop over to YouTube and get in the comments, like my man who tried to tell me that rugby players are more athletic than basketball players, and join the show.
So, yeah, so just so everybody knows as well, the Bills have 1, 2, 3, 4. They have 4 fifth-round picks, a sixth and a seventh, and then obviously a fourth. And I would be surprised if they don't find their way back into the third somehow.
Right.
So you might actually
take 95 and trade it up.
Yeah, you might be talking about two players, right? Or move up, take 95 and move up. But do you have an inkling, an idea of where they're going to go with that pick? Do you think it's going to be more edge, which is what I think too?
Well, possibly, if the guy they want is there, I think it's going to be between those three. I think it's going to be between three positions. It's going to be between wide receiver, center, and edge. And I think they're going to take the best guy available at one of those three and then try to address the other needs in day three of the draft. But, you know, we talked about it right off the bat because the pick was made just before he came on. Mm-hmm. The Bishop pick I love. I absolutely love safeties that put fear in receivers going across the middle, and he seems to be one of those guys.
Yeah, there's a weird tweet from Chris Sims as well about Cole Bishop, but
which is what?
I don't want to address it. I'll send it to you. But okay. It's not that everybody won't look it up on their own. I just don't want to address it on the show. but yeah, so everybody, so we're going to keep this one short because you got another one coming. Please stick around. I know all of you are going to probably be awake for the rest of the draft, but stick around for Jerry and John sometime near the end of the third round. They're going to come back at you. Exciting so far. It's going to be exciting to see how they wrap this whole thing up. In my opinion, I tweeted that out a little while ago. It's interesting that it's not gone. It's gone the way that we thought: safety, wide receiver, just not the people or the direction necessarily, like where the picks came. But some good players are still out there for the Bills to be had. Any final comments before I get us out of here?
No, I'm excited the way this thing is going. I think that Brandon Bean's doing a hell of a job acquiring picks, moving around to get guys that fill glaring holes in the roster. And the first two picks are not a surprise.
Do me a favor, everybody. If you're on YouTube watching us live right now, please hit that thumbs up button before we get out of here. But for John, for John, Jerry, and myself, everybody, we'll talk to you guys very, very soon. Go Bills.
Go Bills.